Hey friends, welcome to the Catholic Dad Show. This is a special episode of the Catholic Dad Show. My name's Chris.
And I'm Matt, and we are a couple of Catholic dads trying to be the best dads we can be.
Awesome. So we are going to dive into a Catholic dad's review or dissecting of Encanto, Disney's Encanto.
Were you waiting for me to say that?
Well, I was trying to get you to participate. You know, it's an interactive show we've got here today. So just as a heads up, if you are watching this and you've not seen the movie, there will be some spoilers, which is fine. And we're not going to necessarily review it as like, well, I think it was better this way or that way. But from a Catholic dad's perspective, what's our response? What are our thoughts in regards to what could be good? What could be something to have caution with? And so, first of all, it is a beautiful movie. Lots of vibrant colors and things like that. It's exactly what you would expect from Disney, except the main character isn't this perfect little princess.
True.
And I thought that was a really neat thing. Someone else pointed out that it felt neat to see someone wearing glasses in a Disney movie as one of the main characters. Huh. Like from the very start. From the very start, there's something flawed about that reality. And I think that theme runs into or throughout the entire movie, is that perfection is not required to be a part of the family.
Yeah. And I noticed that with multiple characters, like not just the perfection thing, but that, I don't know, the typical stereotypes that a lot of Disney's movies will have for women's figures was not present. I mean, there was a whole variety of like, in even kind of the stars of the movie, you know, had a variety of figures, if you will. In particular, I was thinking about the strong girl.
Yeah. So to meet one of the characters, her name is Luisa, and she is this Maribel's sister, who is Maribel's the main protagonist. And and she, Luisa, everyone has a gift or like a superpower, right? She has the gift of super strength.
Yep.
Right? And she's drawn like she has the gift of super strength. She's a burly female character, which is unusual to see in a lot of children's media for a female character to have so much meat on their bones.
Yeah. To have muscles, you know, and not just be fat, you know, to be muscular. And I like that, you know, and so it's nice to see, you know, that they're incorporating different body types, if you will, you know, without just pandering. And I liked that.
So by way of overview, Encanto is a film about a Latin American family who has or lives in a very magical house. The way they got to the house and that reality comes from the power of a candle, but also through a tragic story of how they got there. And so Maribel is the protagonist, the young girl. Each member of the family receives some sort of a gift or some sort of a superpower, right, along the way at a certain age. And when Maribel's turn came up, she received no gift, no superpower.
Yeah.
And so she has a sister who is perfect. She can basically make flowers and you know, earth and stuff grow. It's really kind of cool. And also a great use of color by Disney in regards to that. Her mom has the gift of healing. She feeds you a little bit of food and anything that's a boo-boo goes away. She's got a cousin who can turn into anyone. Like a shapeshifter. I'm going like, it's basically all your Marvel movie type of things into a Disney movie type of thing. And so one of the ones, their emotion is like a mood ring. Their emotion controls the weather. And so, and then last but not least.
Another one, you know, has super hearing, can hear every little thing.
That's right. Yeah. And, and her younger cousin, Antonio, actually gets the ability along the way to speak to animals.
Yep.
Right. Which kind of doubles down on the fact that Maribel didn't get anything because the next one.
Yeah, because it skipped Maribel and then it, like the boy got something.
It picked back up.
And then you have this estranged uncle who has the gift of prophecy. Right. And
basically, if your kids have seen this, you've heard about this guy. His name is Bruno. And arguably it's the same guy that did the soundtrack to Hamilton. And the songs are catchy. They've got a hip-hop feel to them. They've got some amazing hooks. And the kids will sing it just as much as they did when Frozen came about. So if you have an older generation of kids, this is kind of the younger generation of kids version of Frozen, where they just keep saying, hey, Alexa, play Don't Talk About Bruno.
Yeah. Until or they'll just run around the house singing, Don't Talk About Bruno, whatever. And it's like after watching the whole movie, I'm like, why is that the song that everybody gets attached to?
But by no means, it's because it's catchy, right? Yeah, but yeah. By no means was it the most important revelation or anything like that.
Yeah.
And so along the way, Maribel has to deal with the fact that she is not as gifted as the others. And so in regards to all media, right? Oftentimes for this generation, and indeed even this generation of parenting, media is consumed, right? But there's a difference. In my opinion, media needs to be processed. And some is never, right? We don't want anything with extreme violence or pornographic content or anything along those lines to be consumed or even processed by our children. But there's some media where it's like, does this need to be processed? Absolutely. I think there are some themes running in this movie that require dialogue afterwards, especially for older children or adolescents.
When you were talking about things being processed, it reminded me, and I don't know if you shared this on the podcast or just in the conversation. Oh, we did. It was on the last video. Just like, Dad, I'm like 6 years old. We don't need to talk about this right now.
Okay. So yeah, just to recap, I ended up telling my daughter about the Holocaust when she was
How
like,
old was she?
She was like 10 and she's standing, if we're driving, she's sitting in the car next to me crying and she's like, Dad, I'm 10 years old. I don't need to know this yet. It's like, wow. But I would say
there are some movies that don't need to be processed, you know, at any age. There are definitely movies that don't need to be processed before the age of 10.
So this movie, I think, is a family-friendly movie.
Schindler's List being one of them.
Yes. Thank you, Matt. I get it. This movie can definitely be journeyed with. There's a patriarchal figure, the grandmother, Abuela Alma, and she, to a degree, is a little bit manipulative and things like that. So some of the things that can be processed are what happens when a family member with authority maybe uses that authority to make you feel different or uncomfortable. Right.
And then I think that's even a good chance for moms and dads to ask their kids, have I ever made you feel less than, you know, have I ever made you feel unimportant, you know, different things like that. You know, I think that's a good opportunity for that.
And so Maribel's kind of journey is she's constantly comparing herself to siblings.
Mm-hmm.
And their giftedness. And I think that this movie is excellent, especially for big families. If you can pull the children aside or your kids aside and talk to them one-on-one and say, what were your thoughts in regards to this?
Yeah. Well, and even like it's not just the family that she's comparing herself to or that she feels that pressure, it's the external forces. So we talked about that on a previous episode is like, what kind of influence does my role as a father in ministry in the area have on my kids? What kind of external pressures are put on them by society around us? And because the whole thing begins with, you know, the kids in the town asking Maribel, what's her gift? You know, and she didn't have one at the time, you know, and, or maybe she never got one. I don't know. I think she got one, but it was just not the same kind of gift that everybody else got. But anyway, but that pressure that she felt wasn't just internal. It was also external.
And that, I think, is a beautiful thing because the family itself, like, cared for the town through their giftedness, right? Mm-hmm. And when there was a member of that family that didn't get a gift, the town felt less secure or less safe because, and I think that we feel that, you know, and my name's Chris Bartlett, and sometimes the last name for my kids, oh, you're a Bartlett, so you must be really good at this because your dad's really good at this. Like, that's unfair pressure to the kids. And this movie brings up a context to be able to talk about that. And even if you don't have a lot of kids in your family, right? This is still a great conversation because they're sitting there watching, you know, Spider-Man with the superpower or all the different Marvel movies, and they're just ordinary. And this movie creates an awesome context to talk about how do we live and deal with the ordinary and how are we still special? How are we still gifted? How do we still matter? And we're still loved when we're in the ordinary. And so I think that this movie Encanto really creates a neat platform for that dialogue. Again, it's a fun movie just to consume, but when you start to process it, I think that this movie can be a gift to your family.
Yeah. And obviously the kind of end moral, you know, of the story is like, we're special without our gifts, you know, like, And like, I liked the end, you know, where I may be jumping ahead, but when I, cause I saw it as an image of the body of Christ, when everybody was coming together to help the family, like the town came to help the family rather than the family helping the town.
Exactly. You yeah. know? And there, I loved there was a community.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. I loved that aspect of it. And that was right after, right as the family was realizing that they don't need those powers because they have each other.
Yes.
And that I thought was really beautiful as far as hammering home, you know, the importance of family.
And family was a neat theme that went all the way through. This is one of the few Disney movies where the mother and father of the main character don't die in the movie.
And the dad's not a jerk, you know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And so the big piece to overcome was actually some of the family dynamics that exist. And so I really love that in regards to the idea that the family is the domestic church. I felt like that was really strong and portrayed in this movie. There were a lot of things that they did together and even a comfortability that you felt in the way they interacted with one another that did feel very familiar, very family. And at the end, you're right, when the whole town came together, I thought it was a celebration, not just of that family, but of the family's giftedness to community and vice versa. Yeah.
And I watched the movie while I was doing work because this is one of those, like, this is kind of a research project for me or whatever before we started recording. So I wasn't sitting down just focused on the movie with my kids or anything like that. So I know that there were pieces I missed, but it was interesting to me, at least from my perspective and how I watched it, how they revealed where the miracle, because that's what they called the candle, you know, and everything that came. She said, my little miracle or our little miracle.
Sure.
You know, where that miracle happened and when they showed that to you, because they didn't even hint at where that miracle came from. Maybe they did, you know, at the beginning, as far as how the candle came to be at the beginning. Did they hint about that at the beginning, Chris?
Briefly, yes.
Okay. So did you know about the father's sacrifice at the beginning of the movie?
It wasn't really fully processed. You just knew that they had to flee and there was a gift in the fleeing. And then you find out really after literally everything falls apart.
Almost the end of the movie.
Yeah. You know?
And so that's what I thought was really neat is they revealed the father's sacrifice, which created the miracle. And from my perspective, I don't know if it was the mother's love in response to that or what, or if maybe it was the connection, you know, mother and father, but I think the father's sacrifice played a huge role in the miracle, you know, coming to be.
Right.
And I loved that aspect of it.
And this would be Maribel's grandfather, the main character's grandfather. Yeah. And so there's some neat family forgiveness and conversation and redemption that happens between Maribel and Abuela, but also the siblings and their own kind of understandings. And so there's a song in there called Surface Pressure, and my boys love it, but it's about, I think it's Luisa, her giftedness.
The strong woman.
Yep. Yeah, Luisa is really strong, and that the whole song talks about how she is looked at as the strong one, and like, she's getting flattened by this reality, but she has to stay strong.
She's not allowed to be weak.
And she feels like it's a drip, drip, drip that never stops. And the pressure that'll tip, tip, tip until you pop. And she feels this pressure. And sometimes I think about that with my own children, but also with the teens that I've journeyed with in youth ministry. Like, some of them are like, I have to continue to be the best cross country runner ever because I'm top three on the team. And my parents are thinking scholarship money because women can get scholarships for cross country in college, you know? And so it's like, I got to keep running, keep running, keep running. Others study, 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 because they want to be the best, the best, the best. And they feel like if just one thing breaks, then they lose their identity.
Yep.
And that song wrestles with that reality in such a great way that I just felt like it was beautiful, because I think there is undue pressure put upon the young people today. And to be able to have, it's hard to just sit down and say, so sweetheart, are you feeling overwhelmed by pressure? Like, dad, leave me alone, right? But if you're like, let's talk about this song, can you relate to that? And they're like, yes.
Yeah, and then like the redemption at the end, they, specifically I noticed it with her and not with the other characters. But at the very end, one of the donkeys that she had picked up earlier in the movie kicks her into a hammock. And then gives her in the house, gives her a drink.
Yes.
You know, so it's this moment of redemption of like, you can relax.
Yes.
You can sit down.
Yeah.
Like kick your feet up, like have a Mai Tai. I'm like, that's it. That's what it looked like.
Because like, the human being versus the human doing, and there's this pressure in society. And when you have a gift, that's where we want you to go. Yeah. So I have one daughter that's very athletic, another daughter that's a very gifted singer. And the one daughter's like, well, I can't sing like this one. And the other one's like, well, I can't play ball like this one. And that was a couple of years ago, and they found a balance. They found kind of owning who they are in the midst of it, which has been beautiful. But in the midst of it, there was no way to really process it. I think this movie actually is a good tool in a father or a parent's toolbox to be able to process that reality.
Yeah. And that's kind of what I was going to say is like, it gives us potentially an avenue to talk to our kids or even to realize what we may be doing. And so I think about, you know, having that pressure on your kid to always get straight A's or the pressure on your kid to always perform, and making sure that we as fathers take advantage of the moments where there's just natural rest, whether it's the Christmas break, spring break, you know, when the season is over, letting our kids take a break, you know, and actually like, cause I can easily see, you know, parents who are really like driving their kids to be, you know, have straight A's and be excellent, yada, 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 requiring reading over the Christmas break.
Right.
You know, or requiring extra work over Christmas break. And it's like, that's a time for a natural time for rest. And your kids need that, you know, one, you know, just physically and emotionally, they need the rest.
Right.
But then also for them to realize that that's not all they are.
Well, you know, and that
they're so much more than just what they do.
And that's an interesting piece of how do we utilize our Sundays, right?
Yeah.
Does it mean Saturday morning, which a lot of times families take to relax or they go to sports events or different things like that? Like, that's fine. But Saturdays might want to be homework days as well so that Sundays can be set apart for leisure. In that Mai Tai and hammock, you know,
yeah,
moment,
yeah,
like
yeah.
You saw in the movie there. Yeah, that's a really good point. So overall, Matt watched it as a research project, but his kids have clearly seen it because they've been singing it. Yeah. We do family night, movie night on Fridays typically, and it's at the end of the week. So when I watched it with my family, we had dinner while we were eating, watched it, and then sat down in the couches afterwards. So I missed about 25 minutes of the movie because I fell asleep. The kids caught me up. I've since gotten caught up for the purpose of this podcast. But you guys, it's good for the kids. They were engaged, and there were moments in the movie that otherwise my younger two, my 3-year-old and my 5-year-old, would be crawling all over the couches and running around. But everyone was quiet and engaged. The storyline was very accessible to everyone. And there were some really powerful things about family, about redemption, worthiness, giftedness, and even overcoming relational struggles that I think in Encanto gets a really high review for me as a tool in your toolbox to be able to better parent in some of these conversations that need to be navigated. So those are my thoughts, Matt.
Yeah. And there's one more thought that I had, specifically thinking about the grandfather character who sacrificed himself for his family.
Yes.
Just so you guys know, what happened was it looked like to me that the village was attacked by marauders or whatever, conquistadors or whatever. Hold on. Sorry, the lighting in my room ever so often, it times out. So I had to, whatever. So the it was being attacked. So the villagers had to flee, and they're all fleeing, and they flee across this river. But then the attackers follow them. And so then everyone starts to run again. But the father realizes, like looking back, he realizes that he has to do something. Because if he doesn't do something, everyone's going to die.
Yes.
Like it was one of those things that like, you could just tell, you know, from a father's perspective, that's what was going through his mind is I have to do something, even if it means me losing my life. I have to put my life on the line to save everyone.
Yep.
And it wasn't just about his kids. It was, you know, he kissed them all on the forehead, kissed his wife. It was about them, but it was also about everybody else.
The community.
And yeah. And he turned around, you know, to face the danger. And that's like, as fathers, when I saw that part, you know, I tear up at movies and sometimes just full out cry at movies. This is one of the moments, you know, in this movie, one of the moments in this movie where I teared up, you know, because that's what we're called to do as men, as fathers, is to recognize the danger and recognize when we need to stand and fight. And that was that moment for him. And so this may not be necessarily a processing feature or processing thing that you need to do with your kids, unless you have, like, if you have older boys and maybe even, you know, older girls, and maybe, like, it could just be something you share with the whole family, because that's the kind of man that you want your daughters looking for.
It's the model Christ gave us on the cross, that one of the greatest ways is to lay down your life for others.
The kind of man that will stand and fight when he needs to, and will defend, you know, the good, the beautiful, and the true. And that's what I saw happening there. And I thought that was really a cool moment. And this is kind of a sort of an aside, but what I see happening more and more in movies is that I don't know if this is sexist or whatever, but I see like a extreme feminism coming out in a lot of movies where if they could have, I feel like they would have let the grandma do that and survive and be the hero and not the dad. You know, it seems like in a lot of movies, that role of being the hero is taken away from the man. And given to, and now he was a hero in a different way at a different time.
Right. He was a hero that set up the magic of the house, whereas Maribel was the hero that brought the magic back to the house.
So it was good. I was just glad to see authentic masculinity used, you know, in a Disney movie.
Right.
Like, you know, because they very easily could have left that out or taken that out or whatever, especially in this like culture of toxic masculinity or whatever that we're seeing pushed around, you know, but that was a very masculine moment. And I was impressed and happy to see it in a Disney movie.
Awesome. Hey, you guys, thanks so much for joining us today. If this is your first introduction to the Catholic Dad Show, we want to invite you to subscribe, to like, and to follow us. We have regular podcasts that get released every 2 weeks, regular shows. They're also released as a podcast. And we have different series, a couple different series. You can get caught up on Catholic Dad's a Genius, as well as the Big Why.
Why Grow as a Catholic Father.
Yep.
Those are the two that we have out right now.
Awesome. Right. Well, that's it. That's our review of Encanto from a couple of Catholic dads.
And we also have an online community where we can discuss this within, you know, just a group of Catholic dads. It's at ablaze.us/thevillage. And if you have any questions, comments, or concerns about this, post them below on the YouTube channel on this episode. Or you can email me, matt@ablaze.us, and I will respond. All right. Make sure you subscribe. Tell your friends.
Have a great day.
Bye, guys.